are really just challenging me and pushing me, trying to help me grow. And I hope that it's doing the same thing for you guys. I know that it has definitely been doing that for me. Thinking back, like right after we started, right after week one of our of like the small groups and everything, somebody came to me and said, "And the discussion that we're getting is really good, but this study terrifies me." And that's because it's pushing on our comfort zones. It's trying to push those walls, expand them, knock them down a little bit. That's why it's terrifying. Because it's different. It's God pushing us. But the amazing part about this whole thing is that we don't have to go on mission alone. We don't have to go and do it all by ourselves. In fact, we shouldn't. We shouldn't go and do it by ourselves. We can't do it by ourselves. If we just were to take the concepts we've talked about so far, if we were to just take mission and gospel and then go out, we would have a two-legged stool. Can we get the two-legged stool? How many of you think you could sit on that? I'm pretty sure I would fall on my face. Are you agreeing that I would fall on my face? Thanks, Max. Appreciate it. A lot of confidence in me. We need a third leg, or we're going to have a problem. The mission of God is to manifest the gospel of Christ, to make it known. The vehicle in which we're sent to do that is community. So that third leg on the stool is community. It helps build the foundation. It keeps us stable. If we didn't have the community of believers, if we didn't have other people doing it with us, we would just go out on our own and fall. We need all three legs. We need mission. We need gospel. But we need community. It's vital to this whole thing. And there might not be another word that has been as overused, misused, or generalized as the word community. It can mean so many different things. And people use it in so many different contexts. But community is a unified body of individuals. It's a group of people with a common characteristic or interest living together within a larger society. It's people coming together to accomplish something together. It's foundational for us as followers of Christ. That whole concept of the stool. If we took it out, the stool is just going to fall over. Whether we're sitting on it or not, it can't even stand without it. And it requires people to interact, to share, and to participate in a common effort. And some of those things are what makes it a little bit scary. For some people, those are really difficult things. But before we get into what community should be, I want to spend a little bit of time on what community shouldn't be. In America, we're often autonomous. We try to function on our own without other people. This shows up in how we separate our lives into little compartments. We compartmentalize everything. We separate each part of our lives into different categories. You know, we're one thing. Now, this isn't always true, but it can apply at any given point. You know, we're different from Monday through Friday. Then we've got our weekend plans. We give an hour to church. We give 5 minutes a day to our quiet time. And we keep our walk with God kind of as a personal thing. That's my personal walk with God. That's for me. We determine who we're going to spend time with, how much time we're going to spend with them, and how open we're going to be in connecting with them. There's this unconscious goal of keeping these compartments, and it's to be able to control who we spend our time with, in how much we connect with them. We try to control the level of community that we have in our lives. And I've lived in a bunch of different places, not as many as some. to be fair, I lived in the same house until I went off to college. So I didn't move around a lot. But in the last decade or so, we've moved around a fair amount. And we've seen, and I've seen this in so many different communities. And when I say communities, I mean like where we actually live. See what I mean about the word community getting used in so many different ways? I'm even using it in many different ways. Where you're driving down your road and you hit the garage door opener button on your garage like four houses before you even get to your house. And now the door to your private world is open. You try to get in there. Heaven forbid your neighbor should be checking the mail. If they are, you know, give them a little tip of the hat, a little wave. How's it going? Get in the door. With as little bit of relational baggage as possible. I've seen this so much where people, they just kind of keep to themselves and they're actually trying not to engage with the people around them. They're trying to keep that stuff and control it, like I was just talking about. And then you can even add to that, that a lot of people in church these days, not just this church, I've heard somebody use church with a capital C to kind of specify the larger body of Christ. But there's a lot of people in the church who actually even became Christians in stealth mode. You guys will know what I mean. Like, so how many times, you know, as speaker at a retreat or even in church been like, okay, eyes are closed, heads are bowed. If you want to receive Christ, raise your hand. So you can do it, but nobody else knows about it. And now I'm not trying to judge, you know, that doesn't, you know, if that was the way that you became a Christian, I'm not trying to judge that. It's just to further show the concept of how we've kind of isolated ourselves. You know, we even took something that was typically pretty public in the early church and made it as personal and controlled as we possibly can. But in the old church, in Bible times, if you wanted a relationship with God, you had to have a relationship with his people. And that's just how it was. Many of those people probably were people you wouldn't want to talk to in your backyard. You know, but that was the story throughout the entire book of Acts. No choosing of relationships. You know, it was no ability to just kind of compartmentalize and keep everything in separate little boxes. To be a part of God's people required that fences would come down and that you would make eye contact with people and build community with those people. God's mission is to be manifested among a community of people. And this is a contradiction from the individualistic and consumeristic society that we live in. You know, we have this mindset. You know, in individualism, it saturates American culture to the point where we don't even notice it anymore. We don't even notice that we're being individualistic, that we're being, consumeristic and putting ourselves first. You know, consumerism points a person in the direction that life is all about me and my lifestyle and the things that benefit my own personal gain. And half the time we don't even notice when we're doing things that fit in that category because it's just become so common. Community is foreign because of the effect that our culture has had on us as a church. It's changed the way we do community. But the Christian life wasn't meant to be done alone. It was meant to be done in community with other people. We're going to look at the early church in Acts chapter 2. This is a pretty common passage. We're going to take a little time and look at it today and what it means for community. Verses 42 through 47. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all, as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This passage is here to show us how Christian community looks. It's almost the entire point of this passage. It's like, look at this church and the way they did community and model it. So let's look at it a little bit. Let's look at what they were doing. First of all, they were devoted to personal growth. You know, it says they were devoted to the apostles' teaching. They were devoted to prayers. They were devoted to praising God. The word devoted implies that they were regularly, continually persisting in doing these things. They were devoted to doing them. There were things that were a major part of their life. They were devoted to personal growth. Like the apostles' teachings, for example, they were devoted to those. They were the crucial truths which the church was being directed by. That's what they had to go on. They had the Old Testament, and then they had the apostles' teachings. Because if you think about it, like the New Testament was written mostly by apostles. Chances are, at this point, they still have not written it. At this particular point in Acts, they were devoted to those teachings. They spent time praying and praising God. Let's see what else they did. They were devoted to spending time together as a community. They had fellowship. Fellowship means association and close relationships. It was more than just getting together at church on Sunday. It was even more than being part of a life impact group, if they had those. It was just being devoted to spending time together and building close relationships, doing stuff together, going on mission together. It says they broke bread in each other's homes. They had meals together. They took the normal, ordinary things of their lives and they did them with each other. They didn't just keep that part for themselves. They shared it with their community. They were also committed to making the kingdom tangible by meeting the needs of the people that were around them. They actually sold their stuff and gave the money to the people who had a need. That's pretty cool. They saw a need and they'd be like, "Yeah, I probably got something I can sell." Sold it, gave it to those people who had a need so that their need could be fulfilled. I never thought of it like this before, but when I was kind of looking and researching this passage a little bit, it was talking about how, like, right after Pentecost, a bunch of people probably stayed for a while so that they could learn and grow, and their resources probably started to run out. Because when they originally went for Pentecost, they had only planned on being there for a certain amount of time, and now they've been there longer. And so the community of believers there are selling their stuff to help these people meet their needs so that they can focus on their personal growth and not be worried about meeting these needs. And that's pretty awesome to think about a community doing that. You know, a community like this, it says they had favor with all the people. They had favor with all the people. By living like this, by showing God's love like this, they were showing other people what God was about. And when people saw that this is what God's about, they liked that. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. When community was done the way that God designed it to be done, he was adding to their number daily. That's so awesome to think that if we can follow the blueprint that God laid out for us in connecting with people and taking care of each other and building relationships and focusing on personal growth in the process, this is what happens. God does awesome things. They were fulfilling the mission in community. They didn't do it alone. They did it in community. Let's look at another passage that will help us dive into this concept of community a little more. 1 Peter 4:8-10. It says, "Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace." Love one another earnestly, or sincerely, or intently. I've often found that the word intent is kind of key in this whole series. It's a really important part. The things that we are doing have to be done on purpose, with intentionality. Love one another with intentionality. You're making a choice to value community and to love the people around you. It also says show hospitality without grumbling. I like that it adds the without grumbling. Show hospitality, but don't be all annoyed about it. Don't complain about it. It's not really showing hospitality if you're grumbling about it, right? Community is a vehicle to show people hospitality. And I've heard this over and over again, that the Greek word that gets used here is, it means love of stranger. Hospitality means love of stranger. Now, we've typically taken it as just opening our home, inviting people over. Yeah, it fits that. Those things are definitely true of hospitality. But are we doing that of people we don't even know? Are we loving on strangers, or are we just loving on people we already know and have close relationships with? Because that's what hospitality is truly about. When I was at district conference a few weeks ago, several of us were in a van driving to the Chinese buffet for lunch. And yes, we left very full. We're driving along and we see, I mean, I'm sure you guys have all seen this or even been a part of this, where two motorcycles pass each other and they give the little wave, right? Okay, and I said, how come they only wave to people on motorcycles? Does that mean I only get to wave at people in minivans? Now, I don't want to knock something, because on one side, there's a common thing there, and they're building community with people they don't even know. Because chances are those two guys that were passing on the motorcycles had no idea who each other were. That's pretty cool. That's building community with people they didn't even know. That's hospitality to strangers. On the other side of it, you know, if I start only waving to people in minivans, well, that'd be really weird anyways. But, you know, that adds a level of exclusivity to my community, because I'm only waving at people that are like me. I'm not waving at people that are different. And so in some ways, that's not taking on the approach of the strange, you know, the stranger thing. But in the ancient church, Christian community was unique, and it was attractive to people because it was inclusive of everyone. It took them some time to get there, but they were inclusive of everyone. And that's what we should be doing too. They loved people who weren't like them. It's easy to love people who are like us. It's easy to love people we're already close with. You know, it's easy to open up your home and your life to people that you know and like. But what about the people that you don't know? And even tougher, what about the people that you don't like? You know what causes exclusivity in communities? Fear. You know what creates inclusivity? Love. They can't coexist. That's what this passage tells us that we're going to look at here. 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. So we have to ask ourselves, what is it we're afraid of? Why is it that we are trying to control who we're in community with? What are we afraid of? Are we afraid of weird theology? Are we afraid of an occasional swear word or the appearance of friends condoning a sinful life? Maybe it's on the other side of things and it's a little bit more personal. Maybe it's a fear of opening up and letting people get to know you. A fear of depending on other people. Because that's what community is about. That's what fellowship is. It's close relationships. It's opening up. It's helping other people. But it's also showing humility and accepting the help of those people. That is what builds those close relationships in community. And if we're praying for God to move in our world today like he did 2,000 years ago, we're going to have to open up our doors and create a space that maybe it's a little bit messy. Maybe it's a little bit dangerous. Maybe it's going to challenge our exclusive ways. But the church can begin a revolution of inclusive community that the masses will be drawn to. When they built an inclusive community in Acts, the masses were drawn to them. They saw what they had and they wanted it too. That's what we need to be creating. It should be clear that we need to do more than have Bible studies with Christians and hang banners outside that say, "Find community here." We have to do more than that to create community and to reach more people and expand our community. Jesus told his disciples that the two greatest commandments were love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And you must love your neighbor as yourself. The rhetorical question that comes out of that is, who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? Through hospitality, as a missional body, we have the opportunity to be visible expressions of the gospel to the people that are around us. And it's our job to be reflecting the gospel in our lives and in our communities. A gospel that can bring transformation. It's brought transformation in our lives. At least I hope it has. And if it's bringing transformation in your life, you should want that transformation for other people. Like, we've talked about a lot of different things this morning regarding community. I want to boil it down to three simple things to help you remember it, okay? Don't worry, they don't all start with the same letter. I can't think like that. I would need a really good thesaurus. Three things. First, personal devotion to Jesus. You need to be devoted to growing personally. If you're not devoted to growing personally, how can you help somebody else grow? So be devoted to growing personally. Devote yourself to learning more. Devote yourself to prayer. Devote yourself to fellowship. The things that early church was doing. Second, it has to be based on a common call. and the mission of the gospel. What's the purpose of community? It's to accept the call that God has placed on our lives to take the gospel out, to be sent on mission, to live as he lived, to put flesh on the gospel. That's what incarnational means. We talked about that a few weeks ago. The third thing is the inclusion of all people, especially the people who don't fit in, the people who are different. Now, I want to be clear on something. I'm not preaching this to say that none of this is happening in our church. I don't want you to take this as none of this is happening and we have to make all these major changes. We're not doing community. That's not what I'm trying to say. So I want to take a minute and I want to celebrate some of the things that I see that we are doing well in community. Let's start with we currently have about 90 people engaged in life impact groups. That's awesome. 90 people engaging in those smaller communities. That's really awesome. That's really the core of this whole community thing, is doing life together with a group like that. That's really huge for this. But we have Free Day. That's this Saturday, where we're taking our stuff and we're giving it away for nothing to other people. Now, we can't control whether the people who come and take it actually need it or not, but we're sacrificing our stuff. And we're saying, hopefully the person that takes it needs it more than I do. That's pretty huge. You know, when we have various trips, I know, like, the Dominican trip, or the youth group went to Pittsburgh this summer. We went to Life last year. We go on retreats all the time. And whenever we have to raise funds, it's done like that. This is one of the most generous churches that I've ever been a part of. Giving so the community can grow. Think of WorkBees, where the whole body comes together and keeps this place going. It's just fun to watch everybody kind of conversing while they're working on the church and building relationships. There's so many things that we are doing well, and I just wanted to make sure that you're not looking at this saying, oh, we're not doing it right. That's not what I'm saying. We have some things that we are doing very well, but we can always be learning. We can always be doing it better and including more. I want to leave you guys with a challenge. Because I think if we were to take these two core passages in Acts chapter 2 and 1 Peter 4 and translate them into community today, I think it would help us a lot. Like, what would it look like today to do community that way? So when you get home today, preferably today or you forget about it, but sometime this week, sit down with your Bible. Look at these two passages. And see what the early church was doing. Define what that would look like in your life today. What are the things that you can be doing to be building and engaging in community? In adding or making stronger that third leg on your stool. And then commit to working to create a community that looks like that blueprint that you're able to make when you're looking through the passages. Ask God to show you what you need to be doing in community to go on mission with the gospel. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you for giving us people that we can do this thing with. Lord, thank you so much for recognizing that we can't do it by ourselves and giving us somebody to do it with. Lord, I pray that you would help us to just drop our habits of individualism and consumerism and compartmentalization and engage in community life. Lord, as we spend time in your word, asking you what that looks like for us, clearly speak to us. Show us what we have to do. Lord, put this burden on our hearts for community. Give us strength as you push on the barriers of our comfort zones to go out and do what you're asking us to do. In your name we pray. Amen.